The answer past, penetrating and perfect truth, is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Thank you for that lovely ceremony and for all your kind offerings. It's just beautiful and joyful. Thank you so very much. It's a real treat. Really nice to have this. I dressed up for this because it seems like it's a really big ceremony of mutual gratitude. So thank you so much. Nice to have us all here together to do it. Really appreciate it. And I was thinking a little bit, surprisingly, about gratitude and giving and receiving and so forth. Giving, when we give something, it helps to dissolve the kind of the barriers around ourselves. And when you receive something, it's the same way. It sort of dissolves that shell to some extent. When we give something that's mine, then it's gone. It's somebody else's. It's not mine anymore. And the me kind of weakens a little. And there's an aspect of fearlessness, not being afraid. You know, I don't have to keep it all for myself. But I can give something. And that giving and receiving just kind of connects us, because when somebody gives something to another person, there's a connection there. And when you receive something, there's a connection. And of course, for some of us to receive is harder than to give, because we feel we shouldn't need to receive. But actually, both to give and to receive is a wonderful thing. And that mutual thing, we're both giving, we're both receiving. When we give something to another person, or they give something to us, we give gratitude, they give to us. And this ceremony, when we all, you know, people bring things, and we all pass them, we don't know who they're from, mostly we don't, and we just receive them, pass them on, receive them, pass them on, and that kind of, we're all doing one thing together, we're all one being, in a sense, giving and receiving, passing and not holding on, receive it, passing it on. And we're not looking at things, oh, it looks nice. No, we just receive it, you know, pass it on. Which is really lovely. It's really lovely. There's whatever it is to receive it. And I love to do the part where I sense it and hold it up to the Buddha, offer it to the Buddha. It's really nice. This ceremony is based on the old Katina ceremony in the East, when people offer robes to the monks. And I think I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. Because what they sometimes do is that they pass things through all the lay people, and all of them reach out to touch it, whatever it may be. They may have had nothing to do with the matter, but they touch it to offer, to share in the merit. And because the merit passes through everybody. So all of us share in the merit of the giving and receiving of the gifts as we pass them from hand to hand. And thinking about that, you know, not only is the gift given, but the merit is also given. It's not just my merit from my little gift, but everybody gets to share in that merit. And there's something really beautiful and selfless about that. It's sort of unbounded giving and receiving. It's really lovely. And it's so much, so well exemplified in this ceremony when we were actually doing it. Because talking about something is one thing, but actually physically doing it kind of brings it home in a different way. So, thank you. It was lovely. All the gifts, some big, some little, some heavy, some light, nothing greater, nothing smaller. Some people bring something, some people bring themselves. And we're grateful for all of it. And all of us are grateful for all of us, as it were. So when somebody gives us something, as I said, we express our gratitude. We're giving them something in return. When we say, thank you, that's really nice, the other person feels happy because they gave us something that we like. Sometimes somebody gives us something that is not quite what we'd like. not what we really want, but if we relinquish our critical mind and simply accept it with gratitude, no thinking of, well, it's not quite the colour I'd like, or it's not quite the right kind of whatever it is. You know how that kind of smalls it down and it sort of constricts our heart and gets all pinched. But if we just say, thank you, and accept it with joy and gratitude for whatever it is, then that flowing of compassion is not sort of squozen. It's just we're grateful for whatever it is. And that's a really beautiful thing. To relinquish our preferences, our likes and dislikes, and simply be grateful for whatever is given is liberating, because we can just say thank you for whatever it is. We don't have to worry about our likes and dislikes. We can just accept with gratitude. And it's really lovely. And of course, gratitude doesn't just apply to things we're given. It applies to everything, all the things that we have in our life. We can be grateful for everything, even when it's not quite what we might have wished for. We can be grateful for things. Sometimes it's joyful, sometimes it's not. And yet, everything helps us. And gratitude is an excellent antidote to our critical and judging mind. When people aren't doing what we'd like them to do, or not being quite the way we'd like them to be, we can find something to be grateful for. At least they're here. At least they're trying to do their best, rather than why are they doing that? Why aren't they doing things the right way? Why aren't they behaving the way I'd like them to behave? Just to be grateful for their presence in our life and whatever that brings to us, even when it's difficult. When we find ourselves dwelling on someone's faults, maybe we can think of their good qualities and appreciate them. Well, yes, they may have these slightly irritating characteristics, but they're really generous, or they're really kind, or, there's nothing hidden, or nothing manipulative there, or whatever it might be, just to appreciate people's good, beneficial qualities. And with that, with everything, when it's pouring with rain and we can't go out on our outing, well, we need the rain. There's always something we can appreciate. It's not a Pollyanna type thing. Everything is lovely. Everything is lovely. It's it's a spiritual practice, actually. Not grumbling and complaining about things. Why isn't it like this? Why does it have to be that way? Why can't I have what I want? But to accept things. Accept the things of our lives. Accept the rain. Accept the non-rain. Accept the irritating things along with the things that we like. Uncomplaining all acceptance, as Rav Master would talk about. There's a whole talk right there. Uncomplaining all acceptance. To accept everything in our life. All the things that happen to us. The things we use every day. Pots and pans and tools and computers and paper and telephones and those wretched little things that buzz. To be grateful for all of them. Even when we don't always like them, but to be grateful because they help us. They do their best. The things we have, they're doing their best to do what they were made to do. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, that they're doing their best, because they don't quite do what we would have hoped they would do. They're just doing what we've told them to do, if it's a computer. But still, things are doing their best. People are doing their best. We are doing our best. To be grateful for our own effort. Seems funny, but just to be grateful for our own opportunity and our own willingness to do our best, to practice the Dharma, and to be grateful, of course, for each other. That we all practice here, that we all do our best, that we help each other. None of us could do this ceremony by ourselves. We need all of us to do it. And it's a lovely expression of the harmony of the Sangha, how we help each other, and everyone helps all of us, each of us. To be grateful for that, all of us with our warts and difficulties and shortcomings and droppings of the ball and missings of something, that we can actually be grateful for all of it. Gratitude for people who do things for us. You know, even when we pay them to fix our teeth or do whatever. You can't actually pay a person for their time and their attention and their care, really, because it's priceless. Our life is priceless. Other people's lives are priceless. People get paid for the work they do, and yet their effort is priceless. And we can appreciate that and be grateful. It's not just a contract, I buy potatoes and take them home. Somebody's grown these things. Those spuds have given their lives for us. And you actually cannot repay that except by doing the best we can in our own training and showing gratitude for all the things of our lives, all the things that we have, that we wear, that we eat, that we deal with. All of it is a gift. And when we're grateful for something, we're not taking it for granted. We're not taking for granted that we have spuds to eat and clothes to wear and all that, because none of it is actually ours, really. We can be grateful for good health when we have it. When we're young, we don't tend to think about it. We're just, you know, fine, we're young, healthy, and so we are. But if a young person gets sick, then they notice. And then when they get better, they're grateful, you know. Sometimes they don't. We can be grateful for all the people we love. Grateful for their presence in our life. Even when they're not always quite the way we'd like them to be. When something happens, we're really grateful for them, you know. And if we're separated from them, we can be really grateful to have had them in our life. When you wouldn't have wanted them to be different. Grateful for them just the way they were. Grateful for our life, our own vitality, the ground we walk on, the rain and the sun and the air we breathe. None of them are things we're entitled to. They're all given to us. And they're not actually ours, really. We don't have a right to any of these things. We think we do, but we don't. Everything is just given on loan. None of it is ours, really. It all passes through. We receive food, we eat it, and it's gone. We breathe in air. Excuse me. We breathe it out again. You can't hold on to it, or you'd swell up and burst. Our changing body, we can't hold on to that. It's going to change, decay, and die. We can't occupy more than a tiny portion of the ground at any one time. We can only be in this little space here. None of it is really ours. None of it stays with us. Everything is fleeting. It all comes and goes. And we can be grateful for this very moment. What we have right now, we can be grateful for, because it's never to be taken for granted. And the more we live in this moment of, this is what I have right now, the more we can be content, not looking for something else, somewhere else, looking for more, looking for something different. What we have right now, we can be grateful for, because it is sufficient. It's what we have. To practice gratitude, I think, is to see more clearly. To see that we're not the center of the universe. Everything isn't all about us. We don't have a right to whatever we want, to an easy life. We're not in charge, not even in control of barely anything. Everything comes and goes. Everything is ephemeral. We are ephemeral. And we can be grateful for this little moment, right now, right here. Here we are sitting in this hall together. This very moment is something to be grateful for. And all the other moments of our lives. Sometimes things are easy, sometimes they're really hard. There's the light and the dark, joy and sorrow. They come together. Gain and loss, fame and disgrace, praise and blame, joy and sorrow. The eight worldly winds that always blow. I always think of these because there's always something going on. Either we've gained something, we've lost something, we're happy, we're miserable. There's always something going on. It's hard to be grateful for loss and sorrow and blame and disgrace and so forth. It's pretty hard to feel grateful when somebody gives us a bad time. I should be grateful for this, but I feel not grateful. But actually, we need all of it. If everything was nice all the time, you wouldn't even notice, you know. And the light needs the darkness. The joy needs the sorrow. Because you have to have both. You can't have one without the other. Everything comes and goes. There is always ups and downs, gain and loss, fame and blame and all that. There couldn't be compassion if there wasn't suffering. We couldn't learn anything. We couldn't be sympathetic to another person. We couldn't know what it's like to suffer if we didn't have suffering. And if none of us had suffering at all, we couldn't learn, we couldn't grow, we would not have any reason to practice the Dharma, which is much more liberating than just having a nice life. The light and the dark, steps and walking, absolutely essential. And we can be grateful. We may not always feel very grateful, and that's okay. But in the end, it's all part of life. And we can be grateful for all of it. Mushrooms. I was talking about mushrooms today with somebody. It turns out mushrooms actually mostly live underground. There's this huge network of mushroom. Everybody knows this, I'm sure. And the things we see are these little guys that pop up, the little flowers of the mushrooms coming up out of the ground. But the real plant is underneath and you don't see it. And sometimes there's the hugest living thing on earth is some mushroom in Minnesota or somewhere, I heard this morning. I'm going to stay away from Minnesota. I don't trust mushrooms very well. I should be grateful. But the other thing I heard today or the other day was that these mushrooms, these funguses, are actually essential for the growth of the forest. The forest depends on them because they break down the leaves and dead trees and wood and stuff into soil that the trees and plants and other creatures can use. So these mushrooms that I feel dubious about actually are essential to our life. We have these lovely trees, the dug firs, you can be grateful to them, the flowers and all that. But these mushroom things that grow under the ground that we don't even see are vital to the whole business. So we can be grateful for these funny things we can't see. We can be grateful for the things that grow in the dark. We can be grateful for the things that cause our roots to deepen and grow in the dark, the hard things of life, the difficulties, the faults in our character that we're trying to work out and seem to be failing horribly, this ongoing angst of life, all the things that are difficult in our lives, our, you know, dying dogs that go on, and you know, all these things. We can be grateful for all of these things because they're all part of that mushroom thing that grows in the dark, I think. They help us to deepen our faith, to keep on going, not just to depend on the thing that sprout up that we can see, but also to trust that underground work that is going on, unseen, from which spring the things that we can see. All of this, the things we see, the things we don't see, the light and the dark, the ups and the downs, all of it works together. All of it is essential for our life. The way we work together, the way we pass things from hand to hand, it all comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. Everything in our life is like that. It all comes and goes, comes through our hands for a short while, then we pass it on. Our life comes into our hands for a short while, then we pass it on. This body, this mind for a short while, then it's going to be ashes, I hope, not compost. Ashes. Anyway, everybody's different. All things give of themselves. All people give of themselves. We actually give our whole life to each other because we can't keep it. All of us give everything we have to all beings. All the things we use do the same. They give themselves to us. All of us give everything to our life and to other beings. There's nothing we can hold on to. And gratitude is one of the ways in which we help to break down this little hard self, like the mushrooms breaking down the leaves, just to kind of help it to dissolve into soil that nourishes beings, nourishes life. Gratitude, compassion, generosity, all these things are ways of dissolving that sense of a separate self, that me, that just we hold on to and let it to kind of gradually compost down into something totally different. It's all a lot bigger than we think. There's a lot more going on than we see. There's all sorts of things at work that we don't see. All kinds of mushrooms going on that we don't see. But we can trust it. We can entrust ourselves to the working of compassion that we can entrust ourselves to, take refuge in, sink into, if you like, to allow that little me to soften, dissolve, and nourish, and be nourished by the great matter for which we train, that we all are part of that. None of us separate. We're all just little, I was going to say maggots. We're all just little bits of the whole, of the whole thing. Doing the best we can and looking to that greater thing, entrusting ourselves to it, whether we see it or whether we don't, we're all part of it. Thank you for your kind, very kind offerings in your presence. May you all be well, peaceful, happy.
Thank you.